This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So yesterday was the first Memorial Day without Major League Baseball in the United States since 1880.
Yikes.
It's a long time ago.
Wow. We had Korean baseball.
Yes.
Which I still haven't watched any of.
We did. No one cares. Well, maybe in Korea they care.
Sure.
But that's still going on? They have any positives? Any shutdowns down there?
I don't think so. Over Not there? That I've heard. I mean, every now and then, like, I'll be on ESPN or whatever, and you see, like, something scroll across the bottom of it. So, as far as I know, it's still rolling on. Right.
Well, that was 140 years ago, Bill. 1880.
Seems like a long time.
And, yeah, that was back when they called it Decoration Day, because they would decorate, like, the graves of...
Really?
Yeah. They called it Decoration Day.
Did they bitch and moan about the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day?
I don't know.
Because that's the big rager on social media.
Oh, yeah.
You had to yell about, you know, it's not Veterans Day, it's Memorial Day.
Right. And then there is a difference.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, but that was like 140 years ago. That's when old Hoss Radbourne pitched.
Hoss.
That was his first year.
Yeah.
Old Hoss Radbourne.
I got a Bowman baseball card with him on it, I think. Yeah, good times.
Great Twitter feed, old Hoss Radbourne. And baseball in those times, yeah, you had guys like Buttercup Dickerson. And
we really need to go back to the days where someone could be called Buttercup and it'd be great.
Tricky Nichols was out there. It was great. But that was a long time ago. That was the last time the U.S. had a Memorial Day without baseball, which is pretty crazy to think about.
Well, it kind of goes hand in hand, right? I mean, baseball in America, the pastime, it's just, it works. But not right now, and not if the owners and the players can't come to some sort of financial agreement.
So here are, so Jeff Passan had this, by the way, he just tweeted his latest tweet, just tossed this out.
Yeah.
The A's are telling their minor league players that they will not pay them at the end of the month.
Yikes.
And they only get like $400 a week.
Yeah. So if you don't know, like the ones that are really screwed in this whole thing are minor league teams. They're talking about you could have a mass exodus of minor league teams that just shut down, that just, they don't. Without fans, they can't operate, plain and simple. I mean, those margins are so thin, and the minor league players...
Well, they also weren't planning on bringing the minor leagues back at all.
Exactly.
It was just going to be no minor league.
Yeah, so they're in a world of hurt, and all those players...
I mean, that doesn't make any sense. If you can have fans, why not let them make some money?
But you can't have fans.
Well, right, you don't know that. I mean, maybe in 2 months you can.
Yeah, it's possible. But again, just the idea... of minor league, but like a Major League Baseball and whatever they're going through pales in comparison to what the minor leagues are doing and the players. Those minor league players, unless the ones that got big signing bonuses, those guys make peanuts. I mean, there's been lawsuits that because of how little they make less than minimum wage. So that really is the budgetary crisis. And the A's, by the way, a couple weeks back were the first major league team. They defaulted on their stadium payment. They pay about $1 million. It was like $1 million and change in rent per month. They failed to make the payment, told the Oakland Coliseum that they're not going to make the payment, and now they're telling their minor league players, yeah, you ain't getting any money from us.
Not a good sign.
No.
Says Jeff Passan. Minor league sports are quite doomed.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. No one really talks about it because unfortunately, you know, I don't want to say we don't care enough, but
yeah.
That's kind of the way it is. We're just talking about the big boys and the minor leagues. Nobody's thinking about them, but holy crap.
They're gutted.
Absolutely gutted.
And
so,
who knows what that looks like because when this thing eventually comes back next year.
They're going to need them.
They're going to need them. And what the hell happens when those teams are gone?
I think they're going to have to supplement them.
Yeah, there's going to have to be some sort of Major League Baseball bailout, right?
You would think. So here's Passan on the potential salary cuts. So Major League Baseball is no longer... saying to players that we want a 50-50 rev split.
Yeah, we knew that was a non-starter. They viewed it as a salary cap, and so they're punting on that.
They've come back to the table with potential salary cuts, and it goes by how much money you make. So basically, here's an interesting question. What percentage of all players make $1 million or less, do you think, in baseball?
Well, I'm cheating because I saw this.
Oh, you already saw it.
I saw that Passan tweeted this.
So, 65% of all players make $1 million or less.
Yes.
Which I think is, I don't know how many fans would know that.
Well, remember, the young guys, even the guys that are high-priced guys, first, second, third-round picks, they make big signing bonuses, but they don't make any money. Baseball has done a phenomenal job of keeping young guys underneath free market costs. I mean, you make nothing for your first 4 to 5 years in baseball minus your signing bonus.
So minimum salary this year is $564K. Those players would earn $262K. If you earned $1 million this year, it would be dropped to $434,000. And you can go all the way up. The highest range is anybody earning $35 million or more will make $7.84 million,
which is a huge slash. But we know what baseball is trying to do here is you don't need to get everyone in baseball on board. You just need to get enough of the players. You need 51% to go along with this. And remember, the NFL did this in their collective bargaining agreement. If you remember, the collective bargaining agreement that the NFL passed wasn't really good for a lot of the star players, which is why you heard Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and these guys speak out against it. But what the NFL was smart to do is say, fine, we're not dealing with Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. We're going after the rank and file. We're going to try to take care of those guys. And if we get enough of them on board, the other guys just have to take the pill and swallow it. And that's what Major League Baseball is doing here. They're saying, look, 65% of the guys make $1 million or less. Hey, if you make less than $1 million, you're basically going to be making your prorated salary, the 50% off the 82 games. And their goal is that they're going to get enough of those guys to say yes and force the Garrett Coles and the Mike Trouts to say, hey, I'm sorry, this is the way it is, and you're going to come back. Now, Garrett Cole or Mike Trout, I suppose you can say I'm not going to play, but then you're in breach of contract and you're going to look horrid. So Major League Baseball clearly knows what they're doing here, and they are going to put the young guys and the also-rans in a direct war against the high earners.
What do the players want? Like, where's this headed?
They want the prorated salaries that they agreed to back in March.
Okay.
That's what they want.
So they're not going to get that.
No.
So that's their extreme. And then the owner's extreme was salary cap.
Yep.
And which they're not going to get. They've already come off of that.
Yeah, they're not going to tie it to revenue. The one that I thought made sense was the deferred payments. Major League Baseball saying, fine, you know, you can have your money, but it's not going to be right now. We need to wait for another year. So you're going to defer that over a couple seasons to try to make that up. But now you see this with the proposed cuts, and you know, we're kind of back at, I don't know if this is going to be a starter for the Major League Baseball Union. But if you get enough guys that are in need, you get enough guys that aren't millionaires, that may be enough to get this pushed through.
It's just crazy. I mean, I know it's a ton of money, but you see the cut that they're making some of the top paid players taking. You're like, wow, they're really trying to get away with 80% of their salary, even though they're going to play 50% of their season.
Yep.
And I get it, and I get that it's stupid that they would complain about it because you're like, oh, well, you could still make $8 million a year. But if you think about the percentage that they're losing, imagine your own job losing 80% of your salary, even though you're still working more than that.
And this is why Major League Baseball is smart. They are going to pit the last guy on the roster making $600,000 a year, who's probably only been making $600,000 for a year or two and that needs his salary, they're going to pit him against Garrett Cole. And they're really going to say, you selfish bastard, you have a chance to make $7.8 million this year for playing 82 games, and you don't want to do it? That's what this is. And more often than not, the owners win more often than not in these sorts of negotiations because they have the leverage. And more often than not, the general public sides with owners over players. And now you're going to not only have the public pressure, but you're going to have what I call the rank and file, the low earners of Major League Baseball, saying, look, I need to play. I need my salary.
There will be that pressure, but there's probably also going to be pressure the other way from the higher earner guys to say, hey, sit tight. We can get you more.
Yeah.
You know, because this is not acceptable. And the players union has already come out and said, they're not going to go for this.
No.
So the owner's going to have to come back and take the next step down. I guess your point is how long do you sit and wait?
Yep.
You know, I mean, how long can you sit and wait when guys need money?
I could see this dragging out for a while.
Well, look at hockey, right? So hockey has an agreement to come back and play, right? The players and the owners, they agreed upon it. This is good, right? We finally got that.
It's a little different because their season was already almost played.
Exactly. But still, right, here we are on, May 26th, and they have some sort of agreement. They can't even begin training camp until July 1, which means their season can't even go until August 1st, basically, because everyone says you need at least 3 to 4 weeks of ramp-up time. And that's right now with an agreement. You've got Major League Baseball that every day that goes on, your season gets cut more and more and more and more, and you can't even come to the table with any sort of agreement right now. So this idea that even if you come up with an agreement here, realistically, let's say 2 to 3 weeks out, that magically the season just starts up. Remember, you're at least a month out from when you come up with an agreement before you can even start to think about logistically bringing everyone back, starting to hold spring trainings, work out the logistics of where everyone's going to play. I mean, these are so much more complex in getting guys back on the field other than just this idea of, well, states are going to allow it. Even coming to an agreement, it takes a long time to do. And baseball doesn't have an agreement. The NBA doesn't have an agreement. And even the NFL, which is trying to paint the rosy picture of, hey, we're fine. Everything is going, you know, hunky-dory. We're going to play as scheduled. I saw today that there was a sneaky little piece in there where I think it was Schefter that said that the owners have already begun discussions about a collective bargaining talks with the players in case of reduced revenue and not being able to play in front of fans or reduce fans. So we can all sit here and say, oh, the NFL is going to happen. It's no big deal. If we get to August and you're going to have 15,000 to 20,000 or no fans in NFL stadiums, don't think for a second that the owners aren't going to try to reach into the pockets of players and get money out. And again, all of that has to be collectively bargained, which could take time and which could delay everything.
Do we expect owners not to do that, though?
No, of course
that,
you do.
That shouldn't be the expectation.
No.
You know that's coming.
Yeah.
That's coming at every level of business in the world.
Exactly. And
right
so
now.
This is why it's just sports is going to come back at some point in some shape or form. I just think that the road is so bumpy.
Sports is sports.
And it's
business.
And it's complex in ways that I don't think that the average fan just says, well, why can't they just come back?
I think that second one there, that drop, I think that's what you're saying.
Sports is business.
Sports is not just sports.
Sports is sports. Sports
now,
is business.
And it's funny because we thought all along that the one that would have the hardest time coming back is college. I still think that that rings true. But the one thing that college sports has going for it, one, it seems like they're just willing to push through much like the NFL. But remember, college doesn't have a union. And I've seen a lot of people taking shots that athletic directors and coaches seemingly don't care. They can just be like, well, it's unpaid labor. Let's just bring them back. But they don't have a union to say no, right?
Yeah, but they have parents.
They have parents, but that's the one thing that college sports has going for it. Yes, theirs is more difficult because you got to deal with universities. You have to have kids on campuses. And we'll get to what the Pac-12 said about that. And you're seeing some schools take some positive steps about saying they're bringing kids back to campus in some shape or form. But that's the one challenge that college sports doesn't have, which may end up being a reason they do come back sooner than others, simply because they don't have to collectively bargain with the players, and every other sport does, and they got to come up with financials. Imagine if the NFL is cruising along, right? And you got training camps going on, and you're finally allowing teams back in and working out, and we get to let's say the middle of August, and the season's a couple weeks away, and you find out that half the NFL teams can't play with fans, or they can play with 10,000 fans in a stadium. And the owners are staring at that being like, oh my God, that's a $5 or $6 billion loss. And they decide to go to the players and say, well, you're going to have to share in this. You're telling me that in the span of a week or two that the collective bargaining agreement is going to be completely redone and everything is going to be hunky-dory. I don't buy that. So I just think there's rocky roads ahead for the NFL, just like there is for Major League Baseball, unless we get to August and they just say, hey, we can have 70,000 people in the stands and whatever, let's let this thing rip.
I wonder how much pressure they have to get going, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, society's ready for it. It's a hell of an opportunity if you can be the first out of the gate.
Sure.
And start playing here. People will eat it up. There's an opportunity there, but I wonder how much the players or owners feel that.
Well, hockey.
It's just, again, it's a game of chicken.
Hockey's the one right now that at least has a plan and a date, but it's a ways off, but at least they've got an agreement about what they're going to do and moving ahead.
It's funny because hockey threw out the fewest different proposals in this whole process, but yet they came together the best.
Yeah.
They stayed pretty quiet. I mean, the NBA was like, we could play here, we could do this, we could do this. The NHL was just like, we'll figure this out.
Don't you think some of those leagues leak things, though? The leagues leak things because they want to hear what the public thinks about them.
Major League Baseball has done that worse than anyone. Major League Baseball is riddled.
I think the NBA does it, too. Yeah. Either that or the NBA is just a leaky. There's just a lot of people that know chummy with media in the NBA.
Well, Lillard today with Chris Haynes, Lillard's was a direct shot trying to influence this, right? There was a purpose behind Lillard's statement.
Yeah, he said as much.
Yeah.
The other thing about baseball, last thing, and then we'll move on to what's going on in college football, is there is a movement to get them to ban trades this year or during this COVID stuff.
Yeah.
Because they don't want guys switching clubhouses.
Run that by me again.
Trades.
Yeah.
No trades because they don't want guys switching clubhouses.
Oh.
But
They're
already traveling.
Traveling, and they're in this.
Well, it's not that they've done it. That's just some one thing they're talking about.
no trades.
Like, should they just disallow trades?
That doesn't make any sense.
For the short season.
I feel like the optics of that are good, but it doesn't make any sense considering they're traveling to cities. And
Does any of this make any sense?
No, it's all mildly confusing.
How much of this makes sense? 5%?
Well, the NCAA punted on
these leagues really want their money.
Yes.
That's why this is trying to push forward despite not making sense.
The NCAA punted on the transfer waiver. Remember, this was going to be the year where you could transfer once without any sort of penalty, and they had to get rid of that because of the fear of just mass exodus. And that wasn't anything to do with Corona. That was just like what if a California school isn't going to play? What would... Or even just the threat of them not playing, what kind of carnage you could have there with players just being like, all right, well, I'm not playing here anymore.
Hey, since we mentioned the A's, it's worth noting we should do a segment on what this may mean for Major League Baseball to Portland. We'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah, can the Portland Diamond Project just start writing checks?
Well, the A's are struggling.
Yeah, the A's can't.
You know, this could rattle some cages, force some issues.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.